Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with a special guest this week, Albert Fada. Albert is a brother I've known for many years. He's married to a beautiful woman named Becky. They have an amazing family with 8 kids and 2 grandkids. And I've asked Albert to come onto the program this week just to share dimensions and aspects of his journey of faith. And yesterday he began by just sharing how he encountered the Lord in 8th grade in a new way in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, getting baptized in the Spirit. If you didn't have a chance to tune into that program, go to our website at renewalministries.net. It's archived there. You could also go to Ave Maria Radio. The archive is there. Listen to it at your convenience. Welcome back, Albert.
It's great to be with you, Peter.
Yeah. There's a lot to talk about, but today I was wondering if we could, you know, you talked about coming to University of Michigan. You had in your university years, serious about school, also outreach and mission, and really trying to live the life as a young man. But then you got a job, and you got entered a very dynamic career where you traveled a lot, and then your family was growing very fast, and you were involved in church and worship and all kinds of things. And I thought, how did you put it all together, and how did you make it all work?
In retrospect, it's funny. You look back at life a lot of times, and it looks a lot more seamless in hindsight than it did in the moment. It was very, very chaotic in the moment, and there was a lot of uncertainty in many ways. I think it started early for me and Becky, even entering into dating. It was very intentional decisions about seeking what God was calling each of us to, and the specific call to discern marriage with each other. And one of the beautiful things that happened even in that marriage prep was Becky and I went through a natural family planning course, which was well before theology of the body was being taught. And yet there was something essential about encountering the church's teaching on sexuality that put Becky and I on a very different perspective. We realized there's so much more beauty and truth than we even realize. Mm-hmm. We took this class because we thought, well, this is what you have to do. And of course, we're going to do whatever the church asks us. But then to be surprised by the beauty of the church teaching. And again, this is even, JP2 was still doing his Wednesday audiences when we were getting prepared for marriage. But what that did is it placed in us a burning desire to do mission as a couple outside of just the context of raising a family, if you will. And it's something actually that I carry with me when I'm talking to a young couple that are engaged or getting ready to get married. I say, you know, of course, rightly ordered, there's this first vocation to our marriage, to our family, and yet God wants more for us. There are multiple vocations that we are called to live. And what you need to discern is what is your common mission as husband and wife in terms of what that mission work is going to be. And I think because of that, the way I approached work was always within a view of this is flowing from my marriage, not around it, in spite of it, or an adder to it. The work I did was secular, and so it wasn't directly missional.
What was the career?
So I worked at Ford Motor Company for a number of years, and then I worked at a company called Visteon, which is an automotive electronic supplier. I worked in the industry for 25 plus years before going into more of an entrepreneurial organization, corporate travel, and then ultimately feeling called and invited by Father John Ricardo to join Acts 29. So it's been an interesting career journey for sure, and I would not have put that in my 10-year plan, my 15-year plan. This is how this is all going to play out. Multiple discernments along the way, the Lord just made clear what he was inviting me to at different stages.
What did the rhythm of your life, what were the values, sort of priorities that you and Becky put together in your family life that expressed your unique way of life as a family? Because your kids have grown up in the Lord and they're really amazing.
Yeah, we're very, very blessed. Blessed beyond all reason.
Yeah.
And especially as our kids get older, and you know this, you don't take credit for them and you hope not to take too much of a hit either.
Yeah. And you married well, so that's
yes, I did. Yeah. I did. So Becky and I discerned early on that we were feeling called, Becky, to raise our kids at home, not to work outside of the home, and to homeschool. And that really allowed for a number of things. On the personal side of work front, it allowed me more freedom perhaps than we might have otherwise had. And it allowed the rest of the family to really come together on an ongoing basis. Part of their education was going to daily mass. That was just part of the daily routine, even as little children. And Becky will tell you that it wasn't because she's this great organized educator. She laughs when she says, "Oh, you must be so organized. You homeschooled 8 kids." She's like, "No, I'm terrible." But I felt called to do it, and so I've done it to the best of the gifting that the Lord has given me. And that really set a pattern for us in our family life of our faith being very much at the heart of our children's education and finding opportunities for me to be involved with them as Becky was doing most, really, the lion's share of the homeschooling work.
I can imagine it provided a certain flexibility that you could engage with your kids more easily in all your travels and your comings and goings because you guys had control of their schedule.
That's
basically
right. That's
I mean,
right.
Even though there's a very active life they live,
that's right.
It's very difficult to make that happen otherwise, I think, especially for guys who have a lot of responsibility. They're on the road a lot.
Yeah, and I think part of that journey has been this concept of 50-50 in marriage is just so wrong. On every single possible level, it can't be 50-50. It's 100-100. You're all in. Both are all in. And you're both discerning things. So my career is Becky's career. Becky's work is my work. Obviously, how it gets expressed in our marriage is different. And there are seasons in our life. When you have, we know a lot of families that have had children much closer. We've been blessed with 8 children, but there's about a 20-year range in there. We know some good friends that have had 9 kids in 9 years. That's a very different dynamic in the family, but it still felt hectic. I've often told people, I'm a phenomenal father of 3. I've got 8, so that doesn't work so well. And what I mean by that is I have a very strong instinct to wanting to be very present to my children, and it's very hard in a large family context to do that the way that I would love to do that. And so you have to let some of that go and say, okay, how can I live with my heart's desire, recognizing the reality of the craziness that is a large family?
What were some of the customs you had in your family and ways you celebrated major events, religious and otherwise?
Yeah, our family holidays have always been a big part of how we celebrate. How we celebrate Easter, I would say, is probably even bigger than the way we celebrate Christmas, although Christmas, obviously, is a big, big family celebration. One of the habits that we got into fairly early on in our marriage is to do a annual little family mini retreat at the end of the year and early on, it was a lot of me just praying on something that the Lord might place on my heart and sharing with the family. Over the last few years, that's really developed. And especially since joining Acts 29, we actually put more of the work on the Lord and having our children go before the Lord and ask the Lord some very explicit questions. And then we kind of just share with each other what it is that the Lord's doing in us. So those are some of the traditions that we've had. We have loved traveling as a family. One of the beauties of being in a global role is that I got to see a lot of the world and as a result decided where would be great places to take the family.
Yeah. And you had lots of bank miles.
And there was one trip that we not only used miles just for, at the time, my 7 children, my wife and I, but my in-laws as well. And that was all done with miles. It was about 1 million miles.
You traveled a lot.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. In the busyness of your work schedule and family, what was your own personal prayer life like, relationship with the Lord? How were you able to create some kind of space in your life?
Yeah.
For continuing to grow, really?
I would say that it was very up and down for a number of years, honestly. And one of the things that really helped, the Lord really used for me is annual retreats, because for myself, where I would go on an annual retreat, preferably a silent one, over a long weekend even, because it was an opportunity to just prayerfully reorder my priorities. And the Lord has used that repeatedly in my life. We have been very active in our parish life, so that's been helpful. We've been very focused on mission, but Father Ed at our parish is fond of recounting the story of, which is now apparently better known, about how the Lord chided him for, "You used to love me, now you just work for me." Yeah. That can be true for all of us.
Yeah.
Where we want to make sure that we say a certain set of prayers because, well, we got to cover our bases, right? We got to ask the Lord to bless our marriage, bless our children. We start to develop beautiful devotional prayers around that. But at the end of the day, returning to silence so that we can hear the Lord speak, boy, that's a battle still for me. And I'm blessed to be in an environment where I get to do that daily. Yeah. We need that silence, especially in this age that we're living in. So rather than be triumphalistic about my phenomenal journey in the last number of years, it's been a journey of constantly fighting to do better in prayer, constantly coming back to the Lord. And the grace is there. And I think it's just a good thing for all of us to recognize, you know, that spiritual truth that we can't lose as Christians ever, as long as we keep getting up, as long as we keep battling. That's been, if there's a victory, it's that grace to keep getting back up and saying, I need to do better, Lord, help me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's easy to become discouraged when you set goals for yourself and you say, okay, Lord, you have a moment, you're on the mountain, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start doing A, B, C, and D because I love you and I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. And then it starts out well for a few weeks or a month or two, and life happens all over the place.
That's right.
And then you kind of wake up one day and go, what happened, A, B, C, and D? I'm still doing A, but B, C, and D are gone. And this is where the devil can try to just get you to be discouraged and to say you blew it. And so, yes, fair number of guys just doing men's retreats over the years. If you were to ask the question, if you ask God what he thinks about you or feels about you, is he mostly sad or is he mostly glad?
Yeah.
You know? Amen. And a lot of guys would say, I think he's mostly sad or disappointed in that's some right. way. You know what I mean?
That's right. And I think
it's just not real. But
right.
anyway.
Yeah. No, that's right. And so that brings up a really important point. When I've been active in men's groups, that's been a tremendous help. Men need men. Women need women. Mm-hmm. My mindset for many years was, well, my bride is my best friend. I need to be the primary one to care for all of her needs. And I was blessed to be I'm blessed to sit on the board for Walking with Purpose, joined a women's conference with 800 women and realized I can't do that.
Yeah.
Women need women, men need men.
Yeah. One way you see it, it's so different, a men's event and a women's event.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Debbie's been doing women's events for years.
That's right.
And they're wonderful. They're good, but the whole place is decorated and every table's decorated and there's beautiful flowers and very personal things,
that's
you know,
right.
and guys just show up. You know what I mean?
It's so true.
Yeah, it's just so different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, can you join us again tomorrow?
Gladly.
All right. So we're going to take some time tomorrow and maybe the day after to dive into some of the dynamic work that's going on with Acts 29 and what Albert and his team are learning, just a lot of great wisdom. They're making a beautiful contribution to the life of the church. And so, friends, the takeaway today also, just to know the Lord loves you. God is your Father. He's calling you and he wants some time with you. He wants some time. He wants you to be able to hear his voice in your own heart, to personally know him. So give him some times of quiet, maybe some time before the Blessed Sacrament, or just quiet in your own home. So hope you can join us tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.